Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters here this morning, and those of us that aren't able to be here today but would normally be here. Our Father, as we celebrate this bread and wine, we thank you for what you've done for us. But we know that our salvation, in a sense, is not yet complete. Won't be complete until that day when we shall see you again and we shall join you. But that even after the resurrection, our salvation wasn't complete. We needed to wait until the filling of the Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you came at Pentecost. And we thank you that you're still here. You're still with us. That we can't even say Jesus is Lord with any conviction, with any truth, unless the Holy Spirit enables us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you do live in us. In those of us who have put our faith in you. Been born again of the Holy Spirit. Thank you that you reside in us. But thank you, Holy Spirit, that there is yet more, that you have more to give, and that we only touch the surface. And my simple prayer for this morning, Lord, is that each of us, my brothers and sisters, myself, as we have sung, we will become increasingly conscious of your presence and aware of your love. Just want to invite you, brothers and sisters, to, if you're standing, whatever, just to have your hands out in front of you. If you want to receive more of his goodness, to be more conscious of his presence, we can go through life knowing that he's with us in theory. But I want to know it increasingly, day by day, by experience, that he is here, he is with me. And I just invite you to open your hands if you'd like more of that. And just simply, our Father, thank you, Lord Jesus. We just invite you, Holy Spirit, I invite you to fill each one of us afresh. I pray for each one. But Lord, each one of us would become more conscious of your presence. Father, I pray, what a joy. What a joy when we wake in the morning to know that the living God is with us and in us. What a joy. I pray, Holy Spirit, that each one of us will be so conscious, increasingly conscious of your presence. Even to the point of being overwhelmed. For the Lord is here. He is with us by his Spirit. And I pray for my brothers and sisters and myself that each one of us will be increasingly conscious of your love for us and be overwhelmed by your great love. Your love will compel us. Your love will drive us. Your love will motivate us. Your love will change us. Father, I pray as we hold our hands before you, we ask you, we look to heaven and we pray, Father, in the name of Jesus. I pray. May each one of us be more conscious of your love. Father, bless your children, bless your children here today. Bless your children with a greater awareness of you, consciousness of your love. Come, Holy Spirit, receive the Spirit afresh. May he kindle the light in you into a burning fire rather than a smouldering wick. May he heal your wounds and diseases. May he cast out fear and give you peace. May he give you strength for the journey. May he give you courage for what you need to do. May he give you power in your inner being that you may know his love and his power to witness for him. May he bless you with fruit. May he endow you with gifts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. May he bless you with the gift of tongues, that you can praise him in a new voice, in a new language. May he bless you with the gift of prophecy. May he bless you with the gift of healing, that you may bring healing, his healing, into people's lives. May he bless you with a word of knowledge. May he give you all that you need and more. Come, breath of wind, breathe new life into these bones, into our bones. Breathe new life. Come, living water, and well up within us streams of living water. Come, fire of God, and burn the dross out of our lives and purify us and make us holy.
I believe the Lord wants to remind us of the fact that he has said that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us. And I think he just wants to say that this morning. I've told you this, I've told you that if you confess your sins, I will forgive, and the blood of my Son has cleansed you from all unrighteousness, and I have made you my child. I have made you a new creation, and the old has gone, the new has come. I've cleared away to make room for me in your life and for my spirit to fill you. And this you need to take hold of. Come, I've made a way, I've cleaned you so that I can fill you.
So brothers and sisters, don't hold on to guilt. If there's anyone here who just feels guilty about something they did or didn't do, hear that word from Chris. If you have confessed, he has cleansed you. He's washed you clean so that he can fill you. Sometimes loss can wound us and cripple us and can fill our lives. And if loss is something that burdens you, we all experience loss, but sometimes it can take up more in our lives than it should. And God wants to fill, he wants to heal that loss. He won't take the loss away, the loss will be there, but he'll heal it, he'll remove its power, and he will restore you and fill you afresh. And he will make up for everything. I'm confident of that. So receive that word from Steve. Don't let loss dominate your life, but rather be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to pray for you that may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up the light of his glorious presence over you and fill you with his love, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. Amen. What I'd love to do now, I'm going to just share with you my introduction to my amazing sermon that I prepared for today. But I just want to give you the introduction in a moment. But what I'd love to do is just invite you to stand and greet the people around you, because we are joined not just through faith in Christ, but we are joined by the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And it's been really lovely just to be family together in our Father's presence this morning. So let's greet one another, shall we? Greet one another with the peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Hello. If it's okay, just before we share Tim and Marion's chocolate... Oh, sorry, I told you what it is. I'd just love to share with you something. You'll know that I have a very, very strong connection to what I call the Jewish roots of our faith. I just feel it's so important to understand some of the background. And so what I want to do is, if it's okay, just a few minutes, maybe three quarters of an hour. it's all right. Just to give what was the introduction for what I wanted to come on to, and I'll say the rest next week. But just a bit of background, really, to are you all right? It's so comfortable, aren't they? There you are. So we've read from Acts chapter 2. Let's just say this again. Jesus is risen. Oh, it's not doing it. The Lord is here.
The Spirit is with us.
Amen. So we've been thinking about the Holy Spirit. We thought about that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, both individually and collectively. We've talked about the Holy Spirit as the breath of God. We've reflected a little bit on that this morning. The breath of God, which brings life to the dead bones, to the church, to God's people. Chris led us a few weeks ago on the Holy Spirit as living water. And I think last week, was it, we looked at the Holy Spirit as fire that comes and purifies our lives and makes us holy. We looked at this verse last week, and I think it's so powerful. Can we just say it again together with that sense of today's about the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit does? And I think this is just a remarkable thing for Paul to say. So should we say this together? If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. Now, should we? I just think in there. Let's do something really embarrassing. Yeah, why not? As I was reading that, I wanted to say it to you. I wanted to say it to Flavia. I wanted to look Flavia in the eye and say, Flavia, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, and He is, then He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body because of His Spirit who lives in you. You see what I'm trying to say? And I think it'd be great to say that to each other in a really embarrassing way. I'm not sure. Okay, well, we don't have to look at each other. Perhaps that's my job, to look at each other in the eyes. But now let's say it with the people. Let's say it with the people around us in mind. Because if this is God's word, it's true. So let's say that in that sense. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, and He is, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. Hands up who's feeling they've got a mortal body at the moment. Yeah, tell me about it. But the Spirit isn't just ethereal. He lives in you. And if He lives in you, He will give life to your mortal body. Thus says the Lord. Better believe it. So, we've read Acts chapter 2. I'm going to use the phrase Shavuot because it's actually Shavuot, which means the Feast of Weeks. We call it Pentecost. Pentecost is the Greek way of talking about Shavuot, okay? But it's Shavuot or Pentecost, as we call it. We've read Acts chapter 2. Let me give you a bit of background to Shavuot. And we've touched on a little bit on it. Israel was in slavery in Egypt. And you know that through the blood of the Lamb painted on the doorposts and lintels of the people's homes, God rescued Israel out of Egypt. The first Passover. He led them out of Egypt. He led them through the Red Sea into the desert of sin. Not sin, but sin. And he went with them. He traveled with them for 7 weeks through the desert. After 7 weeks, the people arrived at the foot of Mount Sinai. 49 days. On the 50th day after the exodus from Egypt, God descended on Mount Sinai in cloud and smoke and fire. And Moses was invited to meet God in that context. And Moses went up and received from God the covenant, the law on 2 tablets of stone. And every year since, the Jews have celebrated Shavuot, Pentecost, in memory, in commemoration of that event. That's what Pentecost is. In our own story, the Bible says we were slaves when we were born. We were born into slavery. We were born into, just like the people of Israel in Egypt, we were born into slavery to sin and to death. And we could not find our own way out of that, just as Israel could not find their own way out of Egypt. But just as God rescued Israel out of Egypt, so he has rescued us, the Bible tells us, through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, our Passover lamb. 40 days after Passover, Jesus ascended back into heaven. But before he ascended back into heaven, he told his disciples this: unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And 10 days later, as Jerusalem was celebrating Shavuot, that moment when God met the people on the mountain and gave them the Ten Commandments, the law, at Shavuot, Jesus poured out his Holy Spirit. And that reminds us, doesn't it, that we are no longer under law, but we are under the law of the Spirit. And that's what this verse from Romans 8, chapter 1 says. Isn't it a wonderful verse? Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Remember that word that Chris has just said about guilt? I spoke to someone a couple of weeks ago and they said, Andy, I am not who's not here today. They said, Andy, I am racked with guilt about something they were not able to do. They weren't even able to do it, but they're racked with guilt about it. We don't have to be racked with guilt, for there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. He goes on to say, for in Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set you free. Hallelujah. We've been set free from the law of sin and death, and we are now set free to the law of the Spirit. Jesus poured out his Spirit on his disciples. Galatians 5 verse 1 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Hallelujah. We're free. We're free people. Free from the past. Free from sin. Free from death. Free from guilt. Free. We're free. Hallelujah. We shouldn't walk around sometimes as though we've got the world on our shoulders. We're free. Doesn't mean we're not concerned. We're just free. As well as being about the Exodus and the giving of the law, Passover and Pentecost are also harvest festivals. The day, and I've said this before, the day after the Passover Sabbath is called the Feast of... Can anyone remember? Oh, yes. You don't have to remember. It's called the Feast of First Fruits, the Sabbath after the Passover. And that is an offering of first fruits. And on that day, the first cut of the barley harvest is cut and presented in the temple as a thank offering to God. The Sabbath after Shavuot is called Yom Habikurim, or the Day of First Fruits Offerings. This is 50 days later, the Day of First Fruits Offerings. And on this day, it's the first cut of the wheat harvest that is taken into the temple and presented before the Lord as a thank offering. But there are, in fact, three harvest festivals in the biblical calendar. And the people of God are required to attend to those three harvest festivals each year. You can read about them in Exodus 23, or you can read about them more fully in Leviticus 23. But speaking about all three of these harvest festivals, Moses writes in Exodus chapter 3, verse 17 to 19, three times a year you are to appear before the sovereign Lord. Bring the best of the first fruits of your soil to the house of the Lord your God. So three times a year there is a harvest festival, and they're all about the first fruits. It is the first cut that is brought into the temple as a thank offering to God. And it not only is it a thank offering of itself, but it's a thank offering of the rest of the harvest that is to come. It's to say, this and everything that follows, ultimately, Lord, belongs to you. The third harvest festival is Sukkot, which is in the autumn. And it's not a grain harvest, but is the harvest of fruit, of grapes and pomegranates and figs and all those other sort of wonderful things that are produced. It's the first fruits of the fruit harvest. And what I want to say by way of introduction is that each of these harvests has a messianic dimension. Turn to the person next to you and says, it has a messianic dimension. In other words, each of these harvest festivals speaks about something to do with the work of the Messiah. Okay? So they're not just a harvest festival in themselves. They speak about the Messiah, and they speak about some element of the Messiah's work. Two of them, of the three, have already been fulfilled as far as the Messiah is concerned. The Feast of First Fruits at Passover is the day we celebrate Jesus' resurrection. So as the first fruit offering in the temple, and I've said this before, was being offered on the Sabbath, the Sunday after Passover, so Jesus rose from the dead. Hallelujah. Okay? So that the Feast of First Fruits at Passover has been fulfilled. And Paul makes this connection very clear in 1 Corinthians 15:20 when he writes, "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who've fallen asleep." Okay? At Shavuot, at Pentecost, at the very same moment that the first fruit offering of wheat was being offered in the temple, around 9 o'clock in the morning, interestingly, the Holy Spirit was being poured out by Jesus upon his church, upon the disciples, and at that point the Spirit began to reap a spiritual harvest for God. He began to gather a harvest amongst the disciples, whom he was filling and transforming and empowering. But he was also gathering a harvest amongst the Jews, who had gathered together from every nation, who had gathered at that point to look and behold the wonder of what was going on, because they heard the noise. And they gathered together and they said, "What does this mean? What's going on?" And what a great harvest that first thank offering was that the Holy Spirit presented to God. Because the Bible tells us that on that day, 3,000 people were added to the body of Christ and baptized. The first fruits. Now, of course, the Holy Spirit has added to the church ever since. And you and I are part of that spiritual harvest that began on that day. We're here because of the work of the Holy Spirit. But those people that we read about in Acts chapter 2 were the first fruits offering that the Holy Spirit made to the Father. Even as the first fruit offering of fruit was going on in the temple at 9 o'clock on that morning. And again, Paul makes the connection. In Romans chapter 8, verse 23, he says, "We ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit." They were the first fruits. We're part of the harvest. And we're offered to God. You and I were offered to God on that first Pentecost Sunday morning as an offering of the Holy Spirit. I don't understand it, but I believe it with all my heart. You and I were presented before the Father on that day because we were part of the harvest that was yet to come, of which they were the first fruits. It's wonderful stuff, isn't it? Maybe not. But these two harvest festivals point us to a third harvest, and this harvest is yet to be fulfilled, which we can look forward to with faith, hope, and excited expectation. Yes, even in Seer Green, we can get excited about this sort of thing. Sukkot. Sukkot is also known as the Feast of Ingathering or of Tabernacles. And Israel at Sukkot commemorates the 40 years of wandering in the desert when they lived in booths. And in particular, it celebrates the moment that God led them across the Jordan into the Promised Land. And every year, as they celebrate the Harvest Festival, what they are celebrating is that at last, God kept his promise. He fulfilled his promise. He brought us into a land. And now we are able to harvest the fruit that we ourselves have planted. And so it's a sense of thanksgiving to God that he's fulfilled his promise. And here is the fruit to prove it. And so it's a great time of celebration. And there are many passages, but Zechariah 14, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Revelation chapter 11 and Revelation chapter 14 in particular, which point out that at some point Jesus will return to earth again. But on this occasion, unlike the first, he will be accompanied with majesty and glory and the blowing of trumpets, which is also another feast that happens just before Tabernacles, interestingly. And when he comes, his role at that point is to gather the final harvest of the faithful to God. As I said earlier, it's both a great and an awful day, because it has tremendous consequences. Some of us will have died, but there will be some who are living. Whether we are alive or dead, at that point, when Jesus comes, we will be gathered to him, and we will be presented to God, and we will eat the heavenly banquet in our promised land. And what I wanted to say this morning, by way of introduction, is this. That God is looking for a harvest. God is looking for a harvest in the world. He's looking for a harvest of faith. He says, "Will I find faith in the earth?" When Jesus comes again, he's looking for a harvest of faith. He's looking for a harvest of people who will have put their faith in Jesus. And they, everyone who's put their faith in Jesus, will be gathered up at Tabernacles and will be presented to God as an offering of first fruits that we've entered our promised land. And we're going to consider that a little bit more next week. But I wanted to say this, that Jesus is also looking for a harvest in your life and in mine. In John chapter 15, the great passage on the vine, Jesus says to his disciples, "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit." And what does he go on to say? That in bearing much fruit, you will show yourselves to be my disciples. So God is looking for a harvest, and you will be part of that harvest, whether you've died or whether you are still alive when Jesus comes. You will, if you have put your faith in Jesus, you will be part of that harvest. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Looking forward to it. But in the here and now, God is looking for a harvest in your life. He's looking to reap a harvest of fruit in your life. And he's looking. You see, the world, when the world looks at you and me, or the world looks at other people, what does it look for? Have you been successful? How much money you've got? Are you good looking? Are you overweight? Underweight? You know, that's what the world looks at, doesn't it? But when God looks at you, that's not what he's looking for. He's looking for a spiritual harvest in your life. He's looking for the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life and in mine. And ultimately, it is not what we say that shows we belong to Jesus. It is our changed and changing lives, the visible, encounterable fruit of our lives that offers the ultimate testimony that we belong to Jesus. And so I simply wanted to say this morning, God is looking for a harvest. And one day, he shall come and gather that human harvest. But in the meantime, are we producing the fruit of the Holy Spirit that he's looking for? And I was going to look at this a little bit more, but we haven't got time now. So what is the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Love. Joy. Love. Joy. Peace. Patience. Kindness. Goodness. Gentleness. Faithfulness. And self-control. We might look a little bit, I don't think that's an exhaustive list, actually, of the fruit of the Spirit. But it's the 9 that are mentioned in Galatians 5. And the question is, brothers and sisters, are you producing the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life? Are these the marks of your life? Love. What's the opposite? Well, we won't go into that now. Joy. Is there much joy in your life? Peace. Are you racked with anxiety? Or actually are you demonstrating the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is peace? Patience. For crying out loud, Andy, get on with it. We'll look at it a bit later. We'll look at it next week a bit more. Kindness. Are we kind people? Are we kind? Goodness, gentleness, faithfulness. Are we faithful people? Self-control. I've said it before, but boy, I think there's a lot of self-control needed around here. And I've said it before, I know people didn't like it, but I'll say it again. We've never encountered so much road rage here than we have elsewhere. Denise experienced it badly yesterday. I'll tell you what, we need to be people who demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit, which is self-control. Even when we're upset, we don't blow off, but we're controlled. So, brothers and sisters, we'll look at this a bit more next week. But God is looking for a harvest. A harvest you'll be gathered in one day. At Tabernacles, Jesus is coming again at Tabernacles. Don't doubt it. Not this Tabernacles, well, he might. But he'll come at Tabernacles, because he did it at Passover, he did it at Shavuot, he will come at Tabernacles. And are we demonstrating the fruit of the Holy Spirit, because he's looking for that in your life and mine. Amen.
Amen.
Father, thank you for being with us this morning. Thank you for your patience with us. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your goodness and kindness and generosity. Thank you for your faithfulness that you never deny us. Thank you for your presence, your incredible presence. You've been with us, Lord, and we've loved bathing in your presence. Please go with us now into the rest of this day, into the rest of this week, and speak to us about this fruit, this harvest in our lives, this harvest of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. And by your grace and by your Holy Spirit, will we become people like trees that bear fruit, that bear this kind of fruit in our lives to the glory of your name, because it's by our fruit that we're known. And it's that we bear fruit that is to your glory. So, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Amen.